The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Market rents across the country rose by 4.4% last year, 80% higher than they were a decade ago, with the average monthly rent for an apartment now in Dublin City at €2,700. That is according to the latest rental report by daft.ie. This comes on the same day that an overhaul of rent regulations has been signed into law by President Catherine Connolly. And joining me now to discuss all of this further is Oona Vryn, Sinn Féin housing spokesperson, and Mary Conway, chairperson of the Irish Property Owners Association. I might come to you first, Mary. These new rent regulations, I presume they're designed to do two things. They're designed to give some certainty to tenants, and they're designed to, I suppose, incentivize landlords staying in the market if they were thinking of leaving. Do they do that?
Well, for a start, I suppose a lot of this is going to be based on the DAFT report. And what the DAFT report that came out today said, the number of houses available to rent are the predictor of rent prices. And we know that the built rent by the institutional investors has slowed right down. And we know that the number of landlords coming into the market has slowed right down. Private landlords, if you look at Scotland, they have 35,000 tenancies and they've 240,000 landlords, whereas Ireland has 250,000 tenants and 104,000 landlords. And we know that that's shrinking. So a lot of it is, I suppose, supply and demand. But we also know, and it says in the report, that since 2016, people who are known as stayers, so people that have stayed in the same tenancy since 2016, their rents have risen by 22%, and that's on average less than a third of the 68% increase seen in general. So new rents are going up, but there are a lot of landlords who are stuck on low legacy rents since 2015 because the tenants haven't moved.
Yeah, but they'll all be allowed to reset that on the 1st of March because they'll be allowed to change their tenancies.
Only if the tenants leave, and if the tenants leave voluntarily. So if you're a tenant and you've been in the same property for a long number of years on a low rent, you're not going to move to something on a higher rent. So the market is stuck.
So are you
much.
Saying that these new regulations do not meet the needs of landlords? Is that what you're saying?
We don't. For new landlords coming into the market, and we know there are very few, yes, it works very well. If I was a landlord coming in for the very first time, and I knew I could buy a property and put the rent at market rent. But again, you know, market rent is what a tenant is able to pay for it. And if somebody goes too high with a rent, they'll know very quickly when there's no tenant to take it. And the other thing is really that the problem is supply. We have inward migration and very little building. So the problem
I'm aware. We'll get to the problem with supply. I'm really asking you. So you, I'm not entirely sure. Do you think that this doesn't or this does meet the need of landlords, these new regulations?
It doesn't meet landlords who are on legacy low rents because they never have a chance to get the rent to market rent. And that's why most of those landlords are the people leaving the market.
Okay. Let me bring you in, Oona Vryn. What's your, I suppose, view on these regulations, these changes to the market, which will include for new tenancies an ability to move to market rent, but then hold at that rent for 6 years?
So, of course, in the context of the DAFT.ie report, which shows rents rising yet again very significantly across the state, but also in cities like Galway, 11%, and Waterford, Cork and Limerick, significantly higher than the statewide average. So you're now looking at, for a new rental across the state, between 25 grand and 36 grand a year, just to put a roof over your head. And on Sunday, the government are going to allow landlords in new tenancies to reset the rent to market rent. Now, how many people is that going to affect? Well, we have a good idea because over the last 2 years, about 25% of all tenancies registered each quarter are first-time tenancies. That's about 60,000 tenancies in a year. That means from March, progressively throughout 2026 and into 2027, anything up to 60,000 new tenancies will be created. And the gap between their existing rent, as Mary has rightly pointed out, and the market rent is huge. In many cases, it can be as much as 3,000, 5,000, even more than that annually. So at one hand, daft.ie tells us rents are too high, particularly for new tenancies. Government has decided, in order allegedly to attract new investment, they're going to allow new tenancies to have the rent set even higher. And you're right, market reset at the start, 6 years rent pressure zone, but then market reset at the end, except for new apartment stock, which will be market rent inflation and then market reset. So what this means is we're going to get a significant increase in the cost of renting for renters, including working people in the middle of a cost of living crisis. And the big question is, are we going to get more supply? And in fact, most industry commentators say we might get some additional supply in the Docklands, in Sandyford, in areas that can take high density, high cost rental,
so
but not
affluent
anywhere
areas
else
and
that can
affluent
sustain,
people
that can sustain rents at, to €3,000-€3,500 for new stock. So my big concern here is renters have been asked to pay not just with increased rents. Government has reduced the design standards for new apartments. Smaller and darker apartments will be built into the future. They've given a massive tax break, €640 million, to apartment developers over the next 2 years for apartments that are already being built. And the actual additional stock that we need, social, affordable and private for purchase, isn't being delivered. So is there too much pressure on the private rental sector right now? Yes, there is. Mary is absolutely right. The number of new rentals coming on the market is very small. But the solution is not to force renters to pay ever greater rip-off rents and put extra profits in the pockets of big landlords. It's to build more social, affordable and private for purchase homes. That's where the solution to this rise, not ever-increasing rip-off rents.
But Owen, just if the fundamental issue here is a lack of supply, and I think most people believe that that is the case, does incentivising, even if it is in more affluent areas, does incentivising landlords to new build in those areas, new apartments in those areas, student accommodation in those areas, does that not help to ease the pressure in general? Because if we want supply, I fully accept what you're saying about social and affordable, but if you allow, I suppose, a safety valve in one part of the rental economy that people kind of go, who have the money, go, well, I'll hoof off to this lovely plush place in Sandyford. That does ease supply in other areas that those people are currently occupying.
Unfortunately, both our history and the present tell us that's not the case. So when we had the largest volume of homes delivered in a single year in 2006, almost 90,000 homes, rents and house prices have skyrocketed to levels never seen before. But also what's happening in the rental sector at the moment is small accidental and semi-professional landlords are leaving, and they're leaving for a variety of reasons. That's pretty much the kind of middle to the bottom end of the price spectrum. The stock that the government is going to try and attract in, and I say try, there's no guarantee it'll come, is at the very top end. So if somebody is displaced from, for example, their single property landlord because the landlord is genuinely selling up and wants to move on, that tenant has nowhere else to go. And that's why homelessness is rising. But also we need to ask ourselves, like, it's not just social housing and affordable housing by the state. It's also private housing. But what kind of private housing? And the vast majority of working people I talk to, they want to be able to own their own home. They don't want to be stuck in rental units in Dublin or Cork for €3,000 a month when they can't afford to save. And what I'm not hearing from government is not only are they not increasing and accelerating the delivery of social and affordable homes, they're doing virtually nothing new to assist the small and medium-sized builder developers in the private sector side to build good quality homes for working people to buy the length and breadth of the country.
Before we bring Mary back in, there are certain exemptions here for smaller landlords. You mentioned all the smaller landlords. Landlords who have fewer than three tenancies will be allowed to terminate a tenancy during that 6 year. This is presumably to keep them in the market in case they're afraid that they will also be able to sell up under various different issues around hardship or a family member needing it or those types of things. Are you saying that hasn't gone far enough?
So the problem is, for any type of regulation to work, it has to be really simple, really easy to understand and really straight to enforce. What government is doing in this legislation is introducing four different types of security of tenure arrangements for existing tenants in existing properties, for new tenants in properties of small landlords, for new tenants in properties of large landlords, and new tenants in new apartments.
You're saying it's too complex.
It is so complex. Nobody will be even able to explain it, let alone understand it or enforce it. And that means around the edges, some people will break the rules. I think they've got the security of tenure propositions all wrong. And while Mary and I might not agree on what the solution is, I say both of us agree they've made an absolute dog's dinner of this one. And it's not good for tenants, in my view.
Mary, do you agree in that they've made a dog's dinner? It's too complex and people around the edges will, I suppose, push the envelope
absolutely
on this.
Absolutely. And the other thing is that this conversation has been very Dublin focused and very big cities. really, you know, a lot of our members are in rural areas, and if a landlord leaves a rural area, no investment company is building an apartment there. The approved housing bodies aren't so keen on building in rural areas. So, you know, while the debate is very Dublin-focused all the time, we really do need to look outside Dublin on what's happening down the country. And, if you know, there needs to be, in an ideal world, everybody would own their own home. But we do need small landlords, particularly in smaller towns around the country. And what's happening now is there's just so much confusion, is that landlords are leaving and they're just, they've just been over-regulated. And remember that most private landlords, 30% of their gross rent that they get paid goes back to the Exchequer and taxes in USC and PRSI. So it depends on your tax situation, but, you know, it's, they're okay. Over-regulated, they're over-taxed, and they're going.
The text line has actually exploded on all of this. I might put some of these to you. I'll come to you first with this one, Owen. We have an annual rent coming in on our property. It's 15,600. That's 10,000 lower than the lowest figure that these guests have mentioned. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we can't get to market value at all, as our own tenants mm-hmm. are great. They're going nowhere. Unless we sell, they'll have to keep going as they are. This is a very difficult situation for us. What do you say to that, Owen?
Yeah, one of the big problems with the rent pressure zones, and we warned Simon Coveney of this back in 2016, is it created different categories of landlords and different categories of tenants. We've argued from the very start that if you're going to have rent regulation, and I'm a strong advocate of good, fair rent regulation, it has to apply to all landlords and all tenants equally and fairly. When you create these imbalances, and those imbalances also impact on the tenant side as well, they create frustration, resentment and anger. The one thing I will say is, even within a rent pressure zone, landlords have been able to increase rent, as Mary rightly said at the start, over 20% over the last decade. The wages of most of those renters haven't increased by 20% over the last decade. So the RPZ system was very badly designed. Most of us in the opposition mm-hmm. actually voted against it.
Certainly
at the time.
In the public sector, it would have increased about 20% in the last decade.
Sure, but if you look at who rents, and if you look at the income cohorts of renters, they're typically concentrated in the middle and the lower end of income cohorts, often new arrivals or people who are moving around within the country. And right now, even if you look at the Residential Tenancies Board, because they publish data for existing rents as well as for new rents, rents are dramatically higher today than they were 15 or 20 years ago. So at a time, for example, when young people are being forced to emigrate because they can't put an affordable roof over their head, when employers in the public and private sector are telling us they can't get staff because of the cost of living crisis, allowing rents to go ever upwards makes absolutely no sense. But unfortunately, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have decided, against the views of the opposition, against the views of some landlords' organisations and most tenants' organisations, the big institutional investors want to build bigger, smaller, darker apartments and charge ever greater rents. And when those institutional investors say to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, jump, the government's answer
is how high. I presume the lowering of standards, if you like, for the smaller, darker apartments was an attempt to allow the prices to come down rather than that. Can I ask you, Mary, just about this, because I say as the loads of texts coming in. The elephant in the room is Airbnb. A cursory search of Dublin, Galway, Cork, etc. shows thousands of houses available. Greed and putting the need of tourists above Irish people is what is causing this housing issue. The government is once again putting greed before need. As head of the Irish Property Owners Association, do you agree with that?
Well, I don't represent Airbnb owners. Maybe some of our members do have Airbnb properties. But again, you know, to the constitutional issue here, if somebody buys a property, are they not entitled to do what they want with it, whether they rent it on the open market or they rent on Airbnb? And, you know, it's the whole problem is the shortage. And we're talking about a starting point of kind of 10 years ago when rents were really, when rent control came in and rents were quite low. We had come out of the recession. I can give an example of an apartment in City West in 2015. That was for rent for 5 months at €1,100. Now, the rent then went to, the original rent there was €1,700 in 2008. So rents were up, then rents fell, and rents have come back up again. Now, that will probably be rent for about $2,300 a month. So, you know, rents fluctuate, and an awful lot of it is dependent on supply and demand. And at the moment, we just don't have the supply. And if I advertise something now as an agent on Daft, you know, the number of applications I will have, you know, they're not names I recognise.
There's an enormous shortfall. I suppose that always begs the question with you, Owen, because Sinn Féin has objected to huge numbers of properties being built in and around the country. Fianna Gail has accused you of somewhere between 11,500 and 12,500 properties that you've objected to between members of your party, local councillors and also TDs.
And a journal.ie fact check has actually proved that Fine Gael claim incorrect. Politicians and communities have a right to engage in the planning system and make planning observations. And in the overwhelming majority of cases, it doesn't delay anything. In many cases, actually, when we make submissions, including myself, we're looking for the number of units to be increased or the mix of units to better reflect what's needed in a local area or for proper affordability to be built into that. The real issue is a third of the people living in the private rental sector should be in social homes. Government aren't building and funding enough of those.
Yeah, but objecting to the building of housing during what you would describe, and many people say rightly describe, as a housing crisis, that's very hard to square that circle.
But we're not objecting to houses. I made a submission,
for example. You're currently objecting to new student accommodation in Cabra.
Because that piece of land should be used for social and affordable homes. Grange Gorman campus is only across the road and government won't fund affordable student accommodation on the university. The piece of land in question, which is derelict and which is owned by a private developer, that piece of land is key to meeting both the social and the affordable housing needs of working people in Cabra. Let's have the right kind of development in the right place. That requires the government to step.
But is that not perfection the enemy of good?
Absolutely not.
If we build.
No.
Is that not part of the solution?
Absolutely not. We did that during the Celtic Tiger and we ended up with defects in homes on floodplains and unaffordable, poor quality homes. We need the right kind of supply in the right place at the right price. And nobody should be called out for wanting to make a constructive contribution to planning. But if you have a place like Cabra where working people, hard-working people, cannot afford to rent or buy anywhere, build social and affordable homes there and fund the student accommodation where it should be on the Grange Gorman campus. Government won't do either and instead they're throwing spurious allegations at our party. We're not in charge of the housing system. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are. And today, what are they saying? They're saying the solution to the housing crisis is rising rents for tens of thousands of renters. That's not acceptable to me.
Look, we will unfortunately have to leave it there today. That is Ona Verinder, Sinn Féin's housing spokesperson, and Mary Conway of the Irish Property Owners Association.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.